The United States of America, known as Land of the Free, Home of the Brave, has come to symbolize freedom throughout the world. People from all nations and from all walks of life have called the United States their home. The United States has welcomed them with open arms. Indeed, the famed Statue of Liberty is the embodiment of the fulfillment of this dream. In New York's public education system alone, its student body represents 145 countries of the world. The United States has a deep affinity with Supreme Master Ching Hai. With her boundless love and compassion, Supreme Master Ching Hai has provided humanitarian assistance to many parts of the United States. In 1993, she sent relief teams to provide financial and material assistance to the victims of the 6 Midwestern states that were severely affected by heavy rain and flooding. On December 27, 1997, at the benefit concert, A Journey Through Aesthetic Realms, Supreme Master Ching Hai generously contributed $100,000 each to the Vietnam Children's Fund and U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. The following year, at another benefit concert, One World of Peace Through Music, she once more contributed generously, with 2 charity organizations being the recipients of her love. St. Jude Children's Research Hospital received $150,000 and the Starlight Children's Foundation received a check for $100,000. And in the face of the worst human tragedy to ever occur on U.S. soil on September 11, 2001, Supreme Master Ching Hai had also responded by immediately sending relief teams from around the country and all over the world to Ground Zero in New York City. Supreme Master Ching Hai's financial contributions amounted to over $300,000 to organizations aiding the victims. To this day, Supreme Master Ching Hai continues to extend her loving compassion to all parts of the U.S., from Virginia, Ohio, Kentucky, Alabama, to California, Florida, Texas, Hawaii, and other states. We now invite you to listen to the following lecture by Supreme Master Ching Hai entitled, Masterhood Means Selfless Love, in Houston, Texas, on November 12, 1993.
Akito? Wow.
They were concerned there might be a conflict in the Kuan Yin and the...
Akito? No. No. I have many... Well, if you have time, they can show you the tape of all of the world martial art masters who congregate sometimes in our place and display their... You know, some of people, they get a small stone like this. One of the monks, he's truly amazing. Normally, if you chop brick, it's easier. But this is a piece of hard stone, you know, small one and round. There's nowhere you can kind of get an angle or something. You just put it flat like this and chop like this. Wow, chop. If I have that hand, I don't need any knives for vegetable and fruit. Do you get that far yet? No, huh? You get even further. Oh, and I have another one, Chinese, he is not that way. He just do nothing, and if you touch him, you fall. He is a Taekwondo. And I have Qigong Master, if you want, all kind of martial arts, and Judo and everything. Many of my monks are now kind of, they're mastering Taekwondo, Judo, or Qigong even. So, okay, don't worry about that. Yes, if you're interested in... martial art is very good for your body and mind. It's a kind of equilibrium that most of the martial art teachers find. Yes? before they reach the higher point. Yes, before. And one of our fellow practitioners, he is a master of Qigong as well as the Taekwondo. And he struggled before to find in his art the point of mindlessness, you know, of doing without doing. And he couldn't find it. But then after he get initiation, he thought, oh, that's it. That's it. That's the point he wants to reach in martial art. You know what I mean? And with the help of initiation, he got it quicker. Instead of practicing this longer time, he got it very quick. Yeah, so he know that. If you have time, you'll get to know him. He teach the teacher of martial art. You know what I mean? He's not the ordinary teacher. He teach kind of policemen and all that, army people. And he teach the teachers. He's a teacher of teachers. He's one of the best martial arts master in Taiwan and even in China. Not many are like him nowadays. Yes, because he didn't do nothing, but people fall. And you can never push him. It doesn't matter how many people. But he just like this, and then maybe 10 of them are rolling up to there or flying. You know what I mean? So people come and attack him, and he didn't do nothing. He just shrugged his shoulder or something. Just like this, and they fly to that corner. Yes, really fly, because many of them have martial art themselves. But some of them are teacher of martial art. Therefore, they know his power. Yes, it takes somebody who knows something about the art to recognize his strength. Yes. So if you ask me how good he is, I cannot tell you. But I can only tell you from other martial arts masters that they really worship him. Yes. And this is one of our disciples. He used to be my bodyguard. Actually, he had job also. He's also kind of allopath doctor. And he has family, and his wife also a martial arts master. So if you go to Taiwan, be careful. Go to our center and then you see what happened. No, but they're very peaceful. They just practice for the exercise of the body and the mind. Also to act out some negative energy, you know. When you feel like punching somebody, just punch the wood. That's that, yeah. And nobody get hurt except yourself. We also love martial arts, so don't you worry. We have no allergy to anything, including religion or martial art or any kind of art. We have no allergy, yeah. Because God is inclusive. You cannot make a dislike or like of anything. Just let it be a choice of the individual. Yes. But some choice a little bit less noble. We might try to minimize this kind of choice. For example, that's why we choose a bloodless dinner, right? Because in that case, we minimize the choice of pleasing ourselves at the expense of other sentient beings' life. And that's some of those kind, but otherwise nothing extreme. You know what I mean? You know the martial arts master that I've just told you? If you first met him, he's a kung fu master, right? He never smiled. He never make joke. He practiced 13 hours every day in his art, whether standing, eating, sitting, sleeping, or talking with friends. He practiced his art. That's why he mastered it. 30 years he did that, 30 years. You know what I mean? But after he met me, I beat him up. Yeah. You know what? He cried himself to surrender. I did nothing. And he always cries still now. Every time he sees me, he cries. I don't know why. I done nothing to him. I never beat him. That's how I beat him up, you see. And another monk of mine, let me tell you, also beat that master up. You know how he did it? He made him laugh to death. Because when that martial arts master came first to our center, you see, he wanted to try all the monks to see which level they have. Because some of them already have some martial art experiences. So he wanted to try each of them to see what they already have in order to eliminate it first or to add it into their time. So he tried one, and some of them just show off some of them. They call flamingo art, or sometimes fox art or tiger art. Yeah, all kind of things. So one of our monks has studied flamingo martial art before. So the martial art master just tell him to demonstrate how much he knows. And then just one stance, he beat the master up. You know why? He was crawling on the floor laughing to death. He beat him up on the floor. So I make him cry to surrender, and my monk made him laugh to death. So we two beat him. Yeah. No need violence. We just make him cry or laugh to death.
I believe there was a question his master may have raised about the conflict between Kuan Yin and other meditative type of practices.
For example?
I know that I've heard on some of your tapes that you recommend not mixing practices.
Yeah.
Perhaps you can clarify for us what you intend by that.
Only when you do it to have anything to do with the breathing control, that's all. Otherwise, there's not much there. And for example, there are many kind of meditation, right? So there are some kind of so-called meditation. He would say anything meditation. So we're confused. But actually there are different types. There's kind of mantra practice. That's what we call, we can call mantra practice. You know, they recite in something. And people also call that meditation. So that's confusing, right? And then people tell you to pay attention to your breathing. You breathe in and breathe out, and that they also call meditation. And some people say to you, you have to pay attention to the solar plexus, abdomen here all the time, and that they also call meditation. Fine, nothing wrong with that. But we abuse the word meditation too much and confuse the people. Because otherwise I would say that everybody meditate anyhow. When I was interviewed on TV this morning, I said, yes, you meditate all the time. Some people meditate on money, some people meditate on girls, some people meditate on drugs when they don't have enough of it. Yeah, that's their meditation. When you pay attention to something in a very extravagant degree, that is when you meditate, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Therefore, I said to you, be concentrated, be one-pointed with my teaching. That's why you get the best result. If you meditate on my teaching and meditate on money at the same time, or meditate on mantra at the same time, of course you are divided. And that's very logical. I just tell you what's good for you. Whatever you want to do, you have to pay all your attention to that point. Is that right? Whether you meditate or you fix a car or you drive a taxi. If you don't pay attention to your driving, you will get into trouble. So that's very simple. Everything I tell you is just a good advice, it's a duty of a teacher. Whatever you know, you have to tell them. But of course you make the choice. You are responsible for your action, your success of your meditational practice. But I am responsible to tell you what is good for you. Everything I tell you is the age-old concentrated essence of a practitioner who wants to get away from all the traps of this materialism and to rise above this mind-matter controlling power so that he can realize there's something greater than his own body and his own machine, brain, computer. Understand? That's it. All these are kind of secret codes, secret methods to speed yourself on the highway of spirituality. There's nothing dictating about that. Because if you don't do it, I never say anything to you. I never scold you, I never ring you and say, hey, you don't do it. Or I never check up on you. It's all your choice. The path of freedom is a path of responsibility, self-responsibility. So I never impose on anything. Just suggest, just to tell you, this is a good way. If you do it, you surely get that. If you don't, okay, you get half or maybe three-quarters. You know what I mean?
Were you on the path, the meditation path, since you were a child, or at least vegetarian and you're the child?
Wow, I think I got very late. I'm not so lucky like you. You're only 9 and you're already on the path. You see, we don't have to be on a path since we are a child. There is no fixed rule when you should be. But the earlier, of course, the better. You are very blessed, yes? And that's because you have blessed parents who guide you in the right direction in an early day. I didn't have that. See, I have to fight my way. And then take my parents along afterwards. It's the wrong way around by us, you see. You know everything. Just that you're too lazy to think. And you deny yourself of your greatness, which you do. For example, this afternoon I have a hard time to convince this guy that he's a saint. All the while he is, and he don't believe it. He thinks a saint has to have a diploma. Yeah, but he's not in the sainthood, honey. So he thinks sainthood in the school, sainthood, they have to also have a degree or something in order to show people that here, I got it, I'm a saint, you know, officially. But too bad we don't have that. It's no good for our ego. Everybody keep asking God. I tell him he's a saint and he don't believe me. So I try to tell him all the good quality of a saint which he possesses in one degree or another. I don't say he's a complete saint. That would be too much for him. He would die right now. But he has saintly quality. Therefore he did that and others. Because I told him he's an accomplished businessman, a very educated person, a rich, a beautiful wife, and gorgeous daughter, and have home, have everything in this material life he has. But all he wants is God. Now, if he is not a saint, what is he? It's very difficult to tell him that he's a saint, or any of you, that you are Buddha, and that you are similar to me, or at least more or less. But you don't want to reach a complete degree of sainthood for some reason. Maybe because you want to be closer to the feeling of human beings. Maybe because you do not yet recognize how great you are. Maybe because you do not have the opportunity to completely make use of your sainthood, of your wisdom. Therefore, you don't recognize yourself as such. No one has become a saint when he was born. Yes. When we were born into this world of Maya, of illusion, we have to undergo all the procedure of a human being. Like we have to be ignorant again. We have to suffer all these illusionary desires and then the disappointment of non-fulfilling desires and all that kind of thing. Until one day we have enough of it and they say, okay, that's it now. Whatever I have, if I don't, I don't. That's the time when you reach complete liberation. You liberate yourself from all your own problems, from your own self-made prison, learned prejudices, yeah, of who you are. Because actually, if you trace down yourself, who you are, you're not there. Who is Dr. Craig, by the way? Yeah, before he was born, who is he? For example, before he was born, nobody know who Dr. Craig is. And now he's born. Okay, he's born into a Craig's family. And then everybody call him from his birth that he's Craig. Right. And then so he grows up with the Craig's name. And then he get a university degree. And that's added more into his own possession of individual. And so he recognized himself as such, as a law university graduate. And then he know more about books, he learned from books, and he learned from this, and he learned from business. And then all this knowledge we call Craig, Dr. Craig. Actually, if the knowledge is you, then you are just knowledge. You are just nothing. Because if you didn't learn all this, then you never exist. If you didn't learn how to speak, if you didn't learn how to eat, if you don't learn how to dress yourself, if you don't learn at university, what are you? So, most of us identified ourselves with all this that we learned. And then we think that's we. Therefore, we have different individuals, like Mr. Craig and Mrs. Craig, because she learned different things. She has different experience from life. She gleaned from different books. And she made her own judgment from what she learned also. And he made his own judgment. And so we are all separated. Otherwise, we are never separated. We are the knowledge house. We are together without the body. And as soon as we assume the body and we assume more knowledge from different sources, we identify ourselves differently from the neighbors. And that's when dividedness starts. That's when we start to get into the trap of ignorance and forget our origin, right? So the more you learn, the farther you are from knowledge. So that's why I have difficulty to convince this guy that he's okay. Because he thought he's not okay. He's so okay But the way I look at him, that he's good. You know what I mean? He has saintly quality and he's selfless because he wants to do things for other people. But he thought to be a master or to do a saintly work, he has to do something else. But I don't know what kind of illusion he has in his mind. But he's doing a saintly job. For example, you don't need to preach to people to be a master. What you're doing today is a master job. You don't realize it. So the problem with us is that we don't recognize our true self, because we recognize the false self, the false conception about the self, about even how a saint should be, and what a saint should experience, and what a saint should have. We are not in business. We should not always ask God, give me experience, give me light, give me sound right now, lift me to heaven. Don't. Offer it to other people, even if you don't have it. So we don't always ask God to do things for us. I think we have to turn the table. We have to do things for God. So the problem with us is that we too undermine God. You know, we think, okay, I do all this. I want so much and he doesn't know. That's why he doesn't give me this, he doesn't give me that. He don't give me satisfaction of spiritual practice. Well, we're really cursing him. We're scolding him. Like he's deaf, dumb, stupid, know nothing about what you want. Right. So actually, it's our fault. It's your fault. You have not enough faith in God. Doesn't matter how long you boast about it. It's boiled down to that point. So I sacrifice everything just because one person's sacrifice made thousands, millions of people happy. And I consider that is a very lucrative business. So being a businessman, I think you know what to do.
It is our joy to have you with us today on Words of Wisdom. Please join us again tomorrow for the conclusion of Masterhood Means Selfless Love. And now please stay tuned for more uplifting programs coming up next on Supreme Master Television.